Lord Jesus, this morning we come to you. Lord, we thank you that for your wonderful salvation, you made us your own. Lord, this morning as we come together and as we read your word, share your word, hear your word, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit translate your word into our hearts so that we can see what a wonderful salvation you have prepared for us. So that if there's anyone who haven't believed in you as personal Savior, you can open the eyes so that they can believe in you. And for those we have already believed in you, Lord, may you speak to our hearts so that we can see how much you love us. And how we should give our hearts to you. We commit our time to you in your precious hand. We thank you so much for the love of God come upon us. Even though we are unworthy people, but you love us as you loved your own Son. And may you open our eyes to see the love you have for us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I would like to look at how lepers were cleansed in the book of Leviticus with you. The theme today is the cleansing of lepers. We're going to look at three pictures of a leper shown in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. Leprosy is a severe disease, especially in the old days when there was no effective medical cure. Sometimes leprosy could cause loss of fingers and toes, blindness, and collapse of the nose. Let us first look at Leviticus chapter 13. Verse 45 to 46. Let me read. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. The first picture of a leper is a picture of uncleanness, shame, and sorrow. Leviticus 13 talks about leprosy. In particular, the persistent leprous disease is highly destructive and corrosive. Not only does the skin on the surface of the body break down, but the nerve endings underneath are also damaged and lose sensation. The tissue shrinks and the tendons and bones become deformed. Lepers in the Old Testament signifies every sinner like you and me. Leprosy signifies sin. Sin can corrode life, destroy oneself, and even ruin the family. There was a 7 or 8 years old boy called Scott Kadasha. He had a friend who one day discovered a secret place in the attic of the house his father used to store pornography. The friend invited Scott to go to his house to play with him. Later, he brought Scott to the attic to look at the porn together. From then on, his life changed. Because of curiosity, he exposed himself for more pornography
He knew that was not right. Instead of seeking help from trustworthy adults for his curiosity and guilt, he let go himself to his secret lust. Gradually, he was addicted to porn. Throughout his childhood and youth, his eyes and mind were contaminated and distorted by the perverted message and images. He was in bondage. Not only his mind and thoughts were polluted, his interpersonal relationship were polluted. Instead of being a happy boy as in the past, he lived his youthful days in sin and shame. He lived in pain in his dark secret. His life was being destroyed. Not only sexual sins can destroy us, different kinds of sins can also destroy us. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 to 32 lists out of man's sins. Any of the following sins is describing you and has been destroying you? Romans chapter 1, verse 29 to 32. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. As we read the list, are there any sins in the list we can relate to? Are you aware of that, some of them being in your life or in your heart? Sin like leprosy. We should reject sin and avoid it, running away from it. Many years ago, Brother Godwin's son from North America came to visit us for the first time. That time he told us that a brother in the Lord had told him an incident happened to his high school daughter. One day the daughter was surrounded by a group of schoolmates in a school toilet. Her schoolmates gave her drug and pressured her to take it, to try it. They said something like this to her: "Do you dare to try it? If you don't, you are a chicken." Under tremendous pressure, she was struggling. Then a thought came to her: "You belong to God." Then she said to her schoolmates, "Yes, I'm a chicken. I won't take it." When a daughter told her father that incident, the brother was both scared and thankful for God's protection. There was another teenager in Taiwan. He was also tempted and challenged by a group of friends to take drugs. Under peer pressure, he said to himself, "It shouldn't be a big deal. This time I just take it once, and I will never do it again." Then he took the drug for the first time. Afterwards, things didn't turn out as what he originally expected. Somehow, gradually he got addicted to drugs. He had to think of different ways to get money to fund his drug addiction. He ended up spending all of his youthful days in jail and criminal activities. Sin is like leprosy. It can corrode our life and ruin it. 15 years later, by God's mercy, He believed in Jesus. He was saved. His life was started to turn around because of Jesus' salvation. Leprosy not only causes lepers to suffer and ruin their lives. Leprosy can also spread from one person to another. Sins can be contagious. The father of Scott's friend committed and indulged in sexual sins with his eyes. These sins spread to his son, probably even without the father's knowing. It caused his son to stumble and to sin. The son then spread the sin to Scott, such that his life was destroyed. Therefore, we need to be careful, because our sins can pollute people close to us, including those whom we love. Leviticus 13, verse 45, told us that the leprous person shall wear torn clothes. He shall let the hair of his head hang loose. He shall cover his upper lip, or some translation, cover his mustache. Some people said that mustache was a man's honor. Covering it up means a sign of mourning. This verse gives us a picture of shame and guilt and mourning of sin. As the leper was, he needs to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Sins not only polluted the heart of the one who committed sins, it also polluted their interpersonal relationship. He needs to warn people afar that he is unclean. He can't get in touch with people. He needs to avoid other people. Other people need to avoid him. Because of sin, people dare not to be truthful to one another. Sin takes away trust between people. Without truthful and sincere interaction and sharing, people are alienated from one another. People become lonely. As Leviticus 13 continues to say in verse 46, "He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Not only the leper shall live alone, his dwelling shall be outside the camp. The tabernacle is in the center of the camp of the Israelites. Dwelling outside the camp not only means that they live far away from people, they also can't come close to God. They can't go to the tabernacle to offer sacrifice or worship the Lord with other people. They are shut away from God. Leprosy is terrible. Sin is even more terrible. We need to run away from sin. Sin cuts man off from the holy God. Sin also cuts man off from one another. That's why hell is the most lonely place in the universe. Recently, a non-Christian friend said to me, "I am not afraid of hell, because I will have a lot of friends there with me." He thought that he will have like-minded people in hell to be his companions. He doesn't understand that the hell is the most lonely place, because sin cuts off people from one another. There's no God's presence and God's grace in hell. There's no love. There's no companionship. Today, even sinful people in the world can still enjoy companionship with one another. But in hell, sin cuts off people from one another completely. There's complete alienation and utter loneliness in hell. Everyone in this world is a sinner in God's eyes, like a leper. Who can depart from this pitiful and hopeless situation? Only those who receive salvation through trusting Jesus to become a sinner saved by grace. Only then his sin can be forgiven. Being healed and cleansed by God. This is signified by the leper being cleansed in the Leviticus chapter 14. This is the second picture of a leper we are going to look at. Chapter 14, verse 1 to 9 show us that the picture of a leper being cleansed and gaining new life. Verse 1 to 2. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest." The priest here signifies our Lord Jesus. When our sins need to be cleansed, he is the one we should go to. Verse 3 and 4. "And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then, if the case of the leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, the priest shall command them to take for him who is to be cleansed 2 live clean birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet yarn, and hyssop." The priest going out of the camp talk about our Lord Jesus coming down from his glorious heavenly home to our sinful fallen world. He came in order to save us, the lost sinners. In the Old Testament, when the leper has been healed of leprosy disease, the priest shall carry out the cleansing process to declare that he is healed and cleansed, so that the leper can be accepted by God and restored back to God's camp and his people. This cleansing process signifies how God cleansed our sin in the New Testament. There are 2 live birds. Both of these 2 live birds are clean birds. In Leviticus, animals, including birds, are categorized as clean or unclean. The birds used here need to be clean. They can't be unclean birds like ravens. 1 live bird is to be killed, and the other live bird is to be freed into the open field. There are also hyssop, scarlet yarn, and the cedar wood, which is reddish in color. The scarlet yarn is used to tie the hyssop onto the reddish cedar wood. The priest holds the cedar wood to dip the hyssop in the blood of the live bird which was killed. Just as chapter 14, verse 5 to 7 says, "And the priest shall command them to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel over fresh water. He shall take the live bird with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop, and dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed of the leprous disease. Then he shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird go into the open field." The priest commands to kill one of the birds in an earthenware vessel. The vessel contains fresh water. Fresh water means running water, such as stream or springs, but not from stagnant water in a container. The bird was killed over the fresh water so that the blood dropped into it. Then the priest shall hold the cedar wood with a hyssop tied to it by the scarlet yarn and dip into the blood of the first bird. He also dips the second bird into the blood. And then the priest sprinkles the blood soaked in the hyssop to the leper. After sprinkling the blood to the leper for 7 times, the priest declares the leper clean. Then he let go the second bird and frees it to the open field. This is the cleansing process of a leper. When the leper sees the first bird was killed and shed his blood, which then sprinkled on his body for 7 times, he can feel the blood sprinkled on his skin, and he knows that his leprosy has been cleansed. Not only experiences the blood with his body, he also hears the declaration of the priest that he is now cleansed. When he sees the second live bird deep in the blood being let go to the open field, he somehow knows that he can now have a new life, enjoy new freedom, free from leprosy. This process gives us a beautiful and powerful picture of how a sinner is cleansed and find new life through trusting Jesus, through the salvation of Christ. We sinners are like lepers. We are supposed to be the one to be killed and die. Under the bondage and curse of sin, we are dead to God. We are separated from God. We are outside the camp of God. When we see the first bird was killed and shed his blood, which is then sprinkled on the leper for 7 times, we can see Christ dying for our sin and shedding his blood to cleanse us from our sin. 7 in the Bible always refers to completeness. Sprinkling for 7 times means we are cleansed completely and thoroughly. By the blood of Jesus, all our sins are fully forgiven and cleansed. We are completely called righteous and approved by God in Christ through his blood. When we see the second bird being let go to the open field, we see Christ was resurrected. On one hand, through the two birds, we see the death and resurrection of Christ. On the other hand, we see ourselves in the two birds. We see our lives with leprosy die with Christ's death, represented by the first birth death. We see new life given to us through Jesus' resurrection, represented by the second birth being let go to the open field. This is a wonderful picture, bringing us hope and joy. Today, which picture you are representing? An uncleansed leper separated from God, or a cleansed leper with new life? How can a person change their life picture from uncleansed leper to a cleansed leper with new life? It is not by our own good works or improvements. It is by repenting and trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection. What is repentance? Repentance means changing the attitude towards sins. Previously, the person didn't mind to sin and even delight with sin. Now he dislikes sins and grieves for his sin. Previously, he could use different means to achieve what he wants, including sinful means, and enjoy the success or advantages sin brings. But now he feels sad and grieved about this. Previously, he may feel proud of his sins. Now he feels shame of his sins. Repentance is when a person views his sin like a leper views his leprosy. Regrettably, sometimes we can be leper but not knowing that we are leper. We don't feel much about the filthiness or shame or pain or danger of sin. We are used to it and feel numb of it. Like a leper whose leprosy damaged the nerve underneath the skin. The nerve can no longer feels the pain from being cut or being burned or having ulcer. Originally, God made nerves in our body to enable us to feel pain, which serve as a warning sign to us, so that we can take action to protect ourselves, our body, to avoid the danger and further damage. But now the nerves are destroyed by leprosy, and physical feelings are gone. like people's conscience become numb by sins. People are not aware of the danger of their own sins. What does it mean by trusting Jesus? It means that on one hand, a person sees the righteousness and holiness of God, so he feels sad for his sin against God. He knows that the righteous judgment and punishment of God are there for sinners. On the other hand, he believes that Jesus shed his blood on the cross 2,000 years ago to cleanse his sin so that he can be forgiven by God. He believes that Jesus was resurrected on the third day, raised up on the third day so that he can be justified by God and receive, and we can receive eternal life from God. He is willing to trust and receive Jesus to be a Savior and Lord, to follow him. As Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10 said, Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. When a person believes with his heart and confesses with his mouth, he is saved. Not because of what he has done or has improved himself in any way to become a better person in the eyes of God, but through trusting Jesus, being resurrected from the dead by God, to be his Savior, trusting Jesus to be his Savior, and through trusting Jesus to be his Lord to follow, the person is saved. This is the way for his sin to be forgiven by God and to receive eternal life from God. This is how he can turn his life from a picture of uncleansed leper to a picture of cleansed leper with a free new life. The little boy, Scott, I mentioned earlier, was in Pond Addiction for many years. When he was 24 years old, he believed in Jesus as his personal Savior and Lord. His sin was forgiven, and he received new life, as what the second birth represented. From then on, God transformed him gradually, including his life goal, his circle of friends, his value system and mindset, and how he managed his time and money, etc. Even for his bondage in pornography, God helped him to take courage to share his hidden struggle with some Christian brothers. They prayed for him. Being on his side, these brothers encouraged him and kept him accountable, helping him. God gradually freed him from the many years of bondage of pornography. This is a picture of a leper being cleansed and received new life. I remember there's an elderly lady in her 80s came to our Hands and Feet food distribution 2 years ago. It was during COVID. All that time, people were waiting for after food on the driveway and not inside our second hall like now. One day, while the elderly lady was curing and waiting for food, some of our sister preached the gospel to her. She had a simple faith, and she believed in Jesus. Originally, she was worshipping idols, but she decided to trust and follow Jesus. She was originally sad and anxious, but became joyful and peaceful after believing in Jesus. Sometime later, she passed away. She is now resting in Jesus' bosom. We praise God for saving her just before her time on earth finished. This is a picture of being cleansed and receiving new life. Some people may have experienced big and obvious change before and after believing in Jesus. For some, the change may be gradually and not very clear-cut. For example, someone who are from Christian families may not be able to tell you exactly what time when they are saved. However, if a person is willing to trust Jesus to be their Savior and Lord, the same picture of cleansed and receiving new life happen in their life. Are you willing to be cleansed and to receive new life by trusting Jesus? After looking at the picture of a pitiful and unclean leper and a picture of a cleansed leper receiving new life, let us look at the third picture of the leper being cleansed and set apart to God. The picture is shown in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 10 to 20. In verse 10, it said, let me read. And on the eighth day he shall take two male lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb a year old without blemish. Ewe lamb is a female lamb. And a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah is about 6 to 7 liters. And one log of oil, which is about 300 cc of oil. With this, the priest shall offer guilt offering, sin offering, burnt offering, and grain offering for the cleansed leper. After killing the male and female lambs, verse 14 said, the priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. This practice did not appear in normal guilt offering, sin offering, burnt offering, or grain offering. It only appeared when Aaron, the high priest, and his sons were consecrated to God by Moses for them to serve God and to carry out the responsibility of priests. Not only that, verse 15 to 18 continues. Then the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, and dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and sprinkle some oil with his fingers 7 times before the Lord. And some of the oil that remains in his hand the priest shall put on the lobe of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. Then the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Here, it tells us that a sinner as the leper, previously, his ears were unclean and did not listen to what God said. Previously, his hands were unclean and did not do what God asked him. Previously, his feet were unclean and did not walk the way of God. But now, all his uncleanness is cleansed by the blood. All his sins are forgiven and accepted by God. He is accepted by God, and his sin is forgiven. The oil represents the Holy Spirit given to the person whose sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus in the New Testament. Also, the oil is put on the leper's right earlobe, representing his ears being set apart to hear God. The oil is put on the leper's right hand thumbs, representing his hands being set apart to serve God. The oil is put on the leper's right foot, big toe, represent his feet being set apart to walk God's way. After this, the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hands shall be put on the head of the leper, showing that the oil coming upon the whole body. Here, putting of oil is not talking about consecration of priests. The oil used in consecration of priests was different from the oil being used here. On one hand, putting oil here talk about the uncleansed lepers is cleansed and accepted by God. He is set apart as God's people belong to God. On the other hand, oil is used to represent the Holy Spirit in the Bible. So to the New Testament believers, the putting of oil here also draws us to remember everyone whose sins are forgiven through believing in Jesus receive the Holy Spirit as well. Verse 19 to 20 continues. The priest shall offer the sin offering to make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. In verse 20, it talks about the priest make atonement for the leper through offering burnt offering and grain offering. The atonement here is more on the acceptance by God and being pleased by God, but not on the cleansing for sins which has already been dealt with by the sin offering and the guilt offering. Burnt offering and grain offering are different from sin offering and guilt offering. They are free will offerings. They are called pleasing aroma to the Lord. Burnt offering expresses devotion and commitment to God. Grain offering expresses thanksgiving to God. Leviticus chapter 14 talk about the leper offering, burnt offering and grain offering. It signifies a sinner in New Testament see the uncleanness and shame of his own sins, deserved for originally death and judgment. But now because of the blood of Jesus on the cross, his sins are forgiven. Because of Jesus' resurrection, he received new life. Because of love, Jesus was willing to be the firstborn being killed for him, so that he can receive life and freedom as the second birth. Since the Lord is so good to him, he is grateful and is willing to offer himself to Jesus as his Lord. This is what the burnt offering and grain offering show us here. Hundreds of years ago, slave trade was regarded as one of the many commercial activities. They sold African slaves to Europe and America. Slaves had to do hard work, hard labor in foreign lands, enduring beatings and humiliation, even to death. There are stories about slaves. Once the market was auctioning slaves, and finally a tall, young, and strong slave was auctioned, with fear and pain on his face. Every buyer called out a very high price to buy this slave. Maybe every time a higher price was called out, the young slave would have more fear in his heart. Because this kind of business activity has always been very cruel. The higher the buyers bid for you, the greater the expectation of you they have. The higher the return he requires from you. In the fierce bidding, Suddenly, a gentleman called out an extremely high price, far exceeding all other bidders. No buyer was willing to pay a more expensive price than this. No buyer has the ability to compete with him. This gentleman bought a young, distressed and frightened slave. Then the gentleman paid the full price, received the legal contract of the slave's ownership. He then tore up the contract in front of the young slave and said to him, "I bought you not to be my slave, but to give you freedom." Then he untied the chains on him and said, "You can go now." The young man was very grateful to this gentleman who saved and freed him unexpectedly. Then the young man left happily, very happily. As he walked, he recalled what had happened just now. Where in the world can I find such a good man? The people in this place are so cruel and terrible. I am a homeless person. If I don't follow him, who can I follow? If I don't serve him, who can I serve? Thinking all this, he turned around and ran towards the gentleman. He ran faster and faster, trying to catch up with the gentleman before he went away and disappeared. When he found him, he knelt at his feet and was willing to be a slave. Out of gratefulness to the gentleman's goodness and grace, he wanted to give himself and follow the gentleman as his beloved master. This story reminds us of a Christian offering herself to the Lord. Out of gratefulness to our Lord's love and grace, we offer ourselves to him, following, serving him. Maybe you have been Christian for a long time, but you haven't considered to offer yourself to the Lord. To entrust and offer ourselves to our Savior and Lord doesn't mean that we regard ourselves being strong enough so that we are confident in our own strength to offer to our Lord to live for him. In fact, because we are not confident in ourselves, so we need to offer ourselves to God for him to have full liberty to lead and guide us, to transform us, to live for him. It is not by trusting ourselves, but trusting him. How we are saved by God, not by our own confidence in ourselves, but trusting in Jesus and rely on what he has done on the cross for us. The same way, we offer ourselves to God, not by our own confidence in ourselves, but trusting in Jesus and relying on him to lead and transform us. No matter we are now at a peaceful time or in a struggling, distressed, difficult, dangerous time, may the Lord's love encourage us to offer ourselves to him, especially to those people they are in great distress, so that we entrust ourselves to the Lord and learn to follow him by his grace. Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your great salvation and love shown on the cross. Lord, we pray that your great love can constrain us so that we can come to you. For those they haven't been believing you, accepting you as their Savior, Lord, we pray that you do your work so that you can gain soul for yourself. Lord, we also pray for those we have been believing you in you. Lord, we pray that you can gain our hearts so that we can give our hearts to you. Not only you have already purchased us back to you, but we can use our choice to offer ourselves to you so that you can have the full liberty to work in our lives and to lead us and teach us how to follow you and to serve you. We commit your own word into your hands. We pray that the Holy Spirit do the work and draw us close to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.